Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Higher Self, a philosophy of Alvina Spa and Resource Center. Alvina Spa offers an alternative and natural approaches to living life holistically. It is now 4:02 p.m. I am going to talk to you today about something that is very, very dear and important to me. Before I begin, first and foremost, I give all praises to the Most High, and I am grateful for each and every day that I am given to begin and to forgive, to move on, to release, to let go, and to move forward. I am grateful for those things that have been brought into my life. I am grateful for the lessons. Any lessons that come into my life, others may see it as a curse. I look at it as a blessing. I am grateful to be here with my BTR family and guest. I affirm that all who listen to this episode will gain some insight from the ancient knowledge and wisdom that has been passed on to us all. I especially want to give homage to my ancestors. Before we begin, I want to start a very beautiful meditative piece. It is a daily prayer and practice of the Dalai Lama.
Today, I am going to share a little bit about me and why I am on this journey. I want you to keep in mind all that I share with you, that it is so that you would become enlightened. You do not have to accept all that you listen to each time you log on to listen to any of the episodes. But what I want to share with you is that we are all here to be part of each other and learn from each other. I learned from my former professor, which she became my mentor, then a friend, and a sister in spirit. And she said to us that in our differences, we all have similarities. Peace within is very important to existing here on earth. Searching for the answers within is part of what true healing is. Taking responsibility of your actions that you perform is very important. Understanding that omnipresence, the universe, and its infinite wisdom will bring the answers to us all. If we are willing to open and elevate ourselves, we will be guided towards the path of perfection. I say that to you for you to understand what, why, how, where, and when I started on this spiritual journey. This is not about religion. This is about knowing your powers, your divine connection to omnipresence. There is only one superior being. May we call that superior being in different names, as we are different people from different cultures, different ethnic groups, and we speak different languages. But we all have something in common. We are human. One human race. We breathe this earthly breath, air, and we all bleed. So, please take what I share with you and allow it to guide you. I, Alvina Smith, suffered an injury from a childhood accident that changed my life forever. I was born normal, physically, emotionally, and mentally. To the degree what one thinks normalcy is. Well, I was not born with any congenitive orthopedic issues, but after a bizarre accident that occurred when I was 8 years old, that accident changed the dynamics in my life forever. In my early years, I was known to be like a tomboy, strong-willed, very loving, compassionate, giving, I was told, and I truly feel that I am. That is something that I will not deny myself, the things, the attributes that I have in me. I acknowledge them and I lift them up. Even with the compassion and love and gentleness, kindness and giving, I was one that did not like other people bullying other people. I didn't like injustice, and I still don't. I don't like other people hurting another human being. And I don't like people doing things just for pure evilness. I am going to go back in time. I was in elementary school. And in the school that I attended, there was this young boy that clearly had some emotional and psychological issues. And because of the dis-ease that he was going through emotionally and psychologically, he would act out and he would torture others, teachers, school officials, students, and I feel strongly even his mother, because no one could control him. He felt invincible. He had so much anger, and he spilled out that anger on many of us each day. He bullied many. He did this consistently as a ritual, and he had gained so much pleasure from what he did. Even then, I did not like negative behavior. There was nothing that the Board of Education officials could do with this young boy. So he was left to do what he pleased until they were able to work out a solution with his mother and the state. One day, he came to school, and I guess he made up his mind that he was going to basically instigate fights with numerous students. I being one. I was known for not being violent, but also, if I was pushed enough, I would defend myself. And this day that he came to school and he had made up his mind to instigate the fights with numerous students, and as I said, me being one, he instigated, in conjunction, he argued with me. And we argued back and forth. We argue until a teacher became, I guess, nervous. She noticed that it was going to escalate into something more. And it did. I made up my mind that I was not going to allow that young delinquent boy to intimidate me into a whirl of fear. I learned from the best that my ancestors and my father taught me to be fearless. I used to listen to my father tell me stories how he grew up on a slave plantation. He was born in 1914. And how poor my grandparents were. They could not afford to leave the plantation that my great-grandparents were living on. And that they were enslaved on. He shared this information with me, which guided my spirit. It guided my emotional and psychological development as a child, and even today. As I travel through my journey, I understand more and more that things change if you want them to change. Hearing the stories about my great-grandparents and my grandparents, how they dealt with adversity, it gave me a blueprint. A blueprint to having faith, hope, determination, and the tenacity to continue to live. I seem to have faith in what my father told me because of who he was and what I had heard about him from other people. He had a very strong character. He was honest, he was loving, he was giving, but he was a man that was not easily to back away, especially if he was defending something that he truly believed in. A strong-willed person that feared no one but his creator. This is what my father taught me. So, that spirit and that energy, that mindset, led me not to back away from that young boy in elementary school. As we were leaving the classroom, he began to push me and argue with me. And I turned around and I said, enough. Stop it. And he said to me, you dare to say something to me? When I tell you to do something, you do what I say. And I said, you must be crazy. I'm not going to listen to you. Stop pushing me. You push me again, I'm going to push you back. And he did. And we fought. We fought at the top of the school steps. And we fought. And his back was facing the steps. And my front was facing the steps. So he punched me in my face. And when he did that, I punched him back. To prevent himself from falling, he grabbed me to stop himself from falling. But instead, he went down the flight of steps, and I tumbled down with him. And I tumbled and I tumbled till we both hit the bottom of the steps. Now, I did feel some pain. I remember that day so clearly, and I felt some pain. But I got up and I walked. The teacher asked me if I was okay. We made an accident report. He was suspended eventually. He was suspended for 2 weeks. Now, I don't know what happened to that young boy, but I can tell you what happened to me. That day changed the dynamics in my life. I began to walk with a limp, and I had severe pain. My mother did not take me to the doctor immediately because, as I expressed, at first I had some pain, but then I was able to walk. But as time progressed, the pain increased, and my mobility to walk decreased. My father insisted that my mother would take me to the doctor, and eventually she did. And he met us at the doctor. And when we arrived at the doctor's office and he examined me, he was horrified at the fact that my mother did not bring me in sooner. Now, my father did not know what happened, because by this time my mother and father had separated. He was living in his own dwellings, and my mother stayed in the house. My mother rarely told my father anything because she feared that my father would take control. Because of this, the situation began to worsen. When my father realized that things were being conducted the way they were, he immediately took me to the hospital along with my mother. And at the time I was being raised, my mother left the Baptist church and she embraced the religion called Jehovah's Witness. She embraced this religion, and I too. I was known to be a minister. I was known to be a person that loved preaching about God. I had this great love for God, even as a child. And I knew as a child I wanted to be close to that divine spirit, always walking in that light and serving that light. This is what I was born with. As a Jehovah's Witness, there were things that one is taught, and one is that blood from someone else is unacceptable. Blood transfusion was unacceptable. My mother was new in the religion, so she didn't know what to do. Being admitted in the hospital, I felt better until one night I got up to go get some water and I slipped on the floor. What I didn't tell you is that earlier in that elementary school, I dislocated my hip. That's why I was able to walk. Because you could have a dislocated bone and still function to some degree until it degenerates. That fall left me in excruciating pain. I cried and I hollered out to Jehovah God. That's what I called him at that time. And I screamed and I hollered and I begged for the pain to subside. When the nurses heard my cry, they came to my room and they gave me some painkillers. They had to sedate me. I was scheduled to have surgery some days later, But now, because of the fall, it had to be scheduled earlier than the later dates. They were in contemplation. So, when my mother came the next day after the fall, she was confronted by the doctors, the team of doctors. And she was told what had happened. And they said to her that I would need a blood transfusion. My mother didn't know what to do. So she came to my room and she said to me, I don't know what to do. They are telling me that you need a blood transfusion. I remember this so well. It is so clear, vivid. I can see myself there again. She said to me, I don't know what to do. And she began to cry. And as a child, 8 years old, I said to her, Mommy, please don't cry. Everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. She said she needed to go back to the Kingdom Hall and consult with the elders. She needed to tell my father. Now my father was not a fan of the Jehovah Witness. He was still from the mentality of his grandparents, his parents, and that was a Pentecostal. He could not understand. He did not want to understand why. Why? If the doctor said I need a blood transfusion, then that's what it is. He trusted the doctors. My mother still insists that she had to speak with the elders. So she went back. That night I was in so much pain, so much pain. My father came back. He left that day and he came back. He went to court and he petitioned that the courts would step in along with the doctors for me to have a blood transfusion. But before that was to become effective, later on that night, my mother came into my room with two elders from the Kingdom Hall. And they took me from the hospital. They took me from the hospital and they drove from New York City all the way to Delaware. My mother was crying and weeping. That ride was so painful. I was in, as I said, excruciating pain. It shot throughout my body. The pain just, it ribbed throughout the whole body. When I arrived at the hospital in Delaware, I had a high fever because of the trauma, the shock. My mother cried. She just cried and cried because she said she hoped she's doing the right thing. But that night, I said to her, Mommy, I'm in pain. I know I am. But I trust Jehovah God. I trust God, I said. And he said to me that I shall not allow anything to happen to you. I heard a voice. I saw a light come into my room. Through my tears, I saw a light. Now, one probably want to conclude into something else and say, well, maybe it was the room light. My light was dark. My room was dark. and a light pierced through the walls or the window. Bright light, because I was blinded by it. And I heard a voice said to me, "Don't worry. I'm not going to allow anything to happen to you. You are protected and blessed. What I have for you, you will do more. Trust me, and you shall see." And that's all I needed to know. To me, it was confirmation. So my mother, she calmed down. And they had me in an area waiting for my fever to break. And finally it did. They took several x-rays. By this time, my hip, if I did not mention that to you, I dislocated my hip. My hip was so swollen. It was swollen from the pain. Inflammation built up from so much pain. And they needed to operate immediately. And that is what they did. I did not trust doctors for years because of that surgery on the left hip. That surgery changed my life. I thought of it later that God gave this hip to me as a gift to humble who I was then. They operated, and I felt everything that happened. I felt when they took the scalpel and they cut the flesh of that hip, the left hip, and I felt as the blood began to run down the hip. Now, why am I telling you this? Because in this, there was glory. And I felt when they sword and they cracked the bone. I felt it. I felt when they put the pins in. Now, they gave me as much as they could to sedate me and to numb me. My constitution was so strong. I was full of fear of these people around me. At the same time, I was crying out to God. Yes, I used the word fear. I feared men that were on me because they were calling me racial names. They were calling me the N-word. They called me that as they did the surgery. Eventually, it was over with. And then I was wheeled into recovery with a very high fever. They pinned my hip and they sutured the hip. And I was in so much pain. As time passed, that pain began to increase. I suffered greatly. They had me in a tractor. And as I had my leg lift up, I was crying because the pain just wouldn't stop. And I prayed and I prayed and I called out the name of Jehovah, as I knew. And I called that name out. And I will pass out from the pain. And then one night, a nurse came in and she said to me, "Shut up. The N-word." She said, "Shut up, you're making too much noise." And I said to her, I'm in pain. She purposely, evilly, took the weights off the tractor and just dropped it and my hip and my leg that was up in the air went vroom down onto the bed. I suffered greatly. Eventually, I began to get better because I prayed harder and longer. And when my mother came, she expressed to them what happened. I expressed to them what happened. I told her what happened, and I expressed to her what they did. And she went and she spoke to the administrators. And from that point on, she wouldn't leave my bedside. And then, because my father was angry with my mother, he wouldn't come initially. And then eventually he did. And when he did, he was full of anger and rage. And he held me. And he said, God is going to see you through. And I said, I know. I know. Because I began to search for the answers. I wanted peace. Regardless of what I was up against, I wanted peace. And what I did was I prayed harder. I was released from the hospital. And when I was released from the hospital, as I said, they botched up my hip. They fused the hip and they locked it. They locked it near the waist. They locked it so high, they call it a fusion. I couldn't move the hip. This hip caused me so much problems. They didn't suture me properly, that eventually that I guess I was developing gangrene because my hip would ooze out with pus and it would become green. I've been through a lot. I tell you the story. Follow me. I tell you the story to let you know if you out there and you've been through so much, have determination to have faith. This is not about religion. This is about what is divinely, rightfully yours. You can make it. Have the tenacity, the courage, the faith, hope to continue. And you will see. You will see there is light before the end of the tunnel. Just go within. Peacefully speak to Omnipresence, God the Almighty, the universe, with its infinite wisdom, and it shall speak to you. And my father noticed that it wasn't getting better. So he took me from the house that my mother and I were living in, and he took me to his place. I didn't tell you this, but my father was known to be what they call a mojo man, traditional African practitioner, a shaman. And he took me to his home, and he nursed me. He cleansed the wound, and he cleansed it. It seemed as if it was every hour in the beginning, and it probably was. He used traditional medicine, and he gave me teas to drink to break the fever, and he worked tirelessly, and he prayed over me. Eventually, my fever broke, my hip healed, and the stitches that were initially put on my hip was no longer oozing, looking sick. The skin was smooth, and it was healed. I had difficulty in walking. When I would walk, after I healed, I would just fall. So I would have to walk with crutches for a very long time. I did not have the strength in my hip. But time passed, and I tell you, I had faith and I believe. My father became so overprotective with me, and he kept me close to him. He kept me very close. My mother just did not have the ability to do that. She came from a different background, aristocrat background, with money. So that she only knew was to trust the doctors. She was educated, but still she had ignorance, just like many of us do. You can be educated in a secular institution, but you still could be ignorant to other things. This is why I seek knowledge, because I feel that knowledge breaks through ignorance. And I begin to heal, and I healed well, but I was not able to move my hip. I couldn't sit in the chair normally. I couldn't squat. My hip was fused. But I began to work my hip. Those things that they said I could not do, I knew that I was limitless. And that I did not listen to them. I did African dance. I did salsa, merengue. I was the best dancer in my high school class. Eventually, my teacher wanted me to be part of the ensemble. She wanted me to join her in the dance theater of Harlem. But my father did not want me to get into entertainment. That was my heart in the beginning. Law and entertainment. And I dance. So the fused hip did not bother me. People used to say to me, why didn't you sue? Well, I was a child. I couldn't sue. My mother only could sue. But as a Jehovah's Witness, they too did not believe in that. So that she didn't do this. So I accepted. Some people begin to say, oh my goodness, that was a devil worshiping religion, and that is a devil worshiping religion. Oh, that was the devil that was part of it. And I would just defend the whole thing and say, it has nothing to do with the religion. It has something to do with me trusting God. And I believe, and I feel strongly, that God gave me this hip as a gift. It is a gift from God. Because I was a child that was born with the golden and the silver spoon in her mouth. Anything I wanted, I got it. I had the best. I enjoyed the best. And I believe strongly that if this did not happen to me, I would not learn how to be humble. Of course I love myself, I said. Of course I know that I'm a beautiful human being. And I am in the likeness of what God has manifested for my life. And I begin to take responsibility for my actions. And I taught and I teach and I talk about how I listened to the power, to the spirit of God the Almighty. And that I can stand before anyone and I can say, I made it. I might walk like this. I might have physically or visibly that which you can see, quote unquote, to you is a handicap or disability, but for me it's not. I can do whatever I want to do if I put my mind and my will to do. Because I know that the divine power within me, in the universe, will give me the strength, the know-all to do. And that's what I walked with. For 30-something years, I believe 34 years, I had a fused hip. And what happened, because of the hip being fused, it changed the anatomy of my body. At one point, they told me I could not have children. And I have 3. And I would have had 7. But my father told me then, what God has for you, no man have a say-so. So he taught me to understand that I am to never, ever, ever fall to the weakness, the negativity of anything. Take actions. Be responsible for your actions. Do not re-victimize yourself because you were a victim, regardless whatever you're going through. Know that you have the power to get through it. You have the power because you walk with divine presence, omnipresence. I wanted to share this with you to let you know that many doctors wanted to operate on my hip, but they wanted to fuse it. My anatomy shift, my bones shift, the skeletal system shift, everything shift, and it began to deteriorate, both hips and knees. Now, one might still say, oh, my God. Because when I tell people what's going on with me, they go, wow, oh, my. Like, wait a minute. Don't feel sorry for me. This is a blessing. I'm smiling. It's not a tragedy unless I accept it as a tragedy. But I am not, and I shall not, and I did not. So I had to have total hip replacements. In 2004, I had the right one because, as I said, it deteriorated the skeletal system. And you can see before 2004, you could see the limp. When I was younger, it was less prevalent. And as I got older and older, it became more because my body began to shift again. Each stage of my development, my body began to shift. So I could no longer dance the way I wanted to, and I am a fierce dancer. I lie to you not. When I dance, I take you into this beautiful spiritual trance. You can feel my spirit talking to you through the music and through the movements. And what happened? I could not do that the way like I used to. So what happened? It was time. It was time to move forward. It was time for change. It was time for me to be part of the change, take responsibility. The pain in my right hip led me to have a total hip replacement in 2004. Successful. Now I needed to go back. And in 2005, I requested the same doctor, which is Dr. Michael Parks at Mount Sinai Hospital, excellent orthopedic doctor, to do the surgery on the left hip, to drop the hip, to unfuse it, and just put in a total hip. And he said no. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't put this prosthesis in my body. I mean, he would, he said, but he would not do it with it not being fused, lock, again. And I said to him, but that would defeat the purpose. It will begin to deteriorate my body. I want to slow down the process. I want to slow down the process. Now, this is why I said to you and some other episodes that when they look at the chemical makeup of my body, I'm healthy. Any ailments that come up in my body, I defeat it. I fight it. I go against it. And I battle it, and I win. Because I have faith. And what happened? He refused to do it. So then I went back to the doctor I initially went to see, but I did not feel comfortable because his rapport with me was so distant and cold, and it reminded me of my young days. And I says, no, I could feel that energy coming up again. I just could feel it. No. But I went to see another doctor, and this doctor said to me, well, the best doctor that could do the surgery is Dr. Edward Adler. I said, Dr. Adler? Now, Dr. Adler has a private practice, and that is part of Madison Orthopedics Associates downtown on 34th Street, 34th or 32nd. And I said, wow, okay, and the person sent me back to Dr. Adler. And when I went to Dr. Adler, I prayed before going. He smiled. And I said to him, Dr. Adler, I'm here to find out if you would be able to give me a total hip replacement and drop the hip and not fuse it again. And he said to me, yes, I can do it. He is the top orthopedic surgeon. He is the surgeon for one of the top sport team in New York City and New York State that, and he agreed to do it. And he said, well, I have to give you the disclosure. And he went on to tell me, well, I could do the surgery, but this is what can happen to you. You can walk out of this paralyzed. You can walk out of this. Your gait could be worse. And you can, he went through this whole array of things that can happen to me. And I sat there and I said to him, Dr. Adler, I am going to be fine. Because the God that I serve, will not allow anything to happen to me. That God will not allow anything to happen to me. And that God is the same God that we all worship. I said, I'm going to walk out of this. I'm going to walk away from this. Fine. He said, that's it, optimism, that's going to take you a long way. He said, that's going to take you a long way. And I had the surgery. And I am honored, proud, and I give all praises, and I'm grateful to say, alhamdulillah, all praises, hallelujah, to God the Almighty, Allah, that I am walking, and I am walking well. I am bending, sitting, erected. I am saying to you, it doesn't matter what religious background you have. Walk with faith. There's only one divine superior being. And if you walk with that and understand that, you will see and know you will be healed. Peace and blessings. I send love out to you. And may this enlighten you.